Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Producer Pete, without giving away any details, what do you think of my ugly Christmas sweater?
It fits the bill. It fits the bill, even though my son would love what's on the ugly sweater.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do, too. As a huge fan of... Oh, no, I can't tell you which movies, because if I do, then you'll know what's on the front of my ugly Christmas sweater. So I will put it on in time for us to be on camera in our final hour. If you would like to know what ugly Christmas sweater I'm wearing and what ugly Christmas sweater he is wearing. Did I just drop it on the ground?
I believe so.
Oh, I did. Whoops. Shoot, that's bad. Not that it breaks, but you know what I forgot? My bell, my really loud, obnoxious bell, but I'll wear it for our last show before I take off for the holidays.
We have another day.
Coming up in our final hour, we've amended the rundown. Generally, we do Ask Amy Anything in the same spot every hump show. It's usually in the third hour of the show, pretty close to the middle of the work week. But because we need our tech guru to help us with the live broadcast on Twitch TV, we're waiting until the final hour of the show. So it's the very last segment, which is usually 5:40 Eastern Time, 2:40 a.m. Pacific Time. That's when you get to see my ugly Christmas sweater, Pete's ugly Christmas sweater. But as a bonus, you also get to see a live edition, well, they're all live, but a live on Twitch TV edition of Ask Amy Anything with your holiday and anniversary and 2025 questions. It actually is the last one of 2024 because as we head in through this next week, I'm out for five shows in a row, taking us to, I guess, the night after Christmas is when I'll be back. And then... weird schedule for the first week of January, where I'm in for a couple of shows after week 17 of the NFL, but then out for New Year's Eve and then back in for one more day before we drive home from Texas. So it's kind of odd. It'll be hit or miss, like a surprise, like your Christmas gift unpacked. When is Amy actually hosting the show? Well, it'll be here and there and everywhere. But this is your one chance to see the ugly Christmas sweater. One chance. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. Get your questions in for Ask Amy Anything. And of course, if you miss it on Twitch TV, because I know a lot of you are commuting or are not in a place where you can watch TV at the time, that's all right. It will be thrown up as a brand new video on our YouTube channel when we have the opportunity.
You know, it was funny.
That's funny.
I said that my son would love the Christmas sweater.
Mm-hmm.
He might actually have that sweater.
Stop it. Are you serious? I hope not the same size.
Well, no. I know he has a red. I didn't.
Hey,
give
be away. Careful what details you give away.
It's red. It's Christmas. All right. So he actually has a similar type of sweater.
Yes.
That
gaudy.
Has similar things on it.
Similar items on the front.
The big thing that's on it, he might have one of those.
I bet
curious.
He does. I feel like every child under a certain age, male or female, has one of these. Somewhere in the toy box.
Right. Well, my kids have more clothes than everybody in our whole town.
Clothes?
So, yeah.
Really?
So, yeah.
Were those lots of gifts for you all?
I have five sweatshirts, but, you know, that's it. But yeah, so I'm going to guess he has something similar.
Okay. Well, we're not going to give away any more details because it needs to be a surprise.
I apologize.
No, don't. It's okay. I figure red is fairly common for ugly Christmas sweaters, though yours does not have any red on it.
That's right.
Interesting. So I'm going classic ugly. Pete's going non-traditional Christmas colors. Just wait. You'll see. Again, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. And after the show is done, on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, you can send your questions at Amy After Hours. Also to our Facebook page. There are new photos up in honor of 1 year anniversary. And I get it. Sometimes people don't want to hear me talk about my happiness and my joy and the fact that I finally got married and I'm now celebrating an anniversary after all of the years of being by myself. Here's the thing. I don't actually care. There are a lot of ways that you can follow sports on the radio. There's one. Oh, there's just one Amy Lawrence. And people get married. People have joy. People have family changes and weddings and babies and all kinds of stuff. And we're just people here on After Hours. And so I never am going to stick to sports, but I'm warning you, of course, ahead of time. So at least you can find another option if that's what you really want. It's funny because you put up the post for Ask Amy Anything, Pete, and one guy responds with, "Why can't we just do normal sports talk?"
I saw that.
And honestly, this was the first thing that popped into my head. Well, that sounds boring. And then what is normal anyway?
Right.
Yeah. Why would you want to do the same thing everyone else is doing?
He wants us to just read scores.
Please.
Hey, 5-2, 4-3. Thank you.
Okay. So we're talking about the latest quarterback change in the NFL with Michael Penix taking over for the Atlanta Falcons. On the same day, by the way, that Michael Vick, former Falcons great, it takes a head coaching job at Norfolk State. Interesting, right? You go Bill Belichick for North Carolina, and now Mike Vick takes over at Norfolk State. As for his former franchise, they had a veteran QB. It didn't work out so well the last five games, and now we're moving to Michael Penix in Atlanta. Will this be the start of the Michael Penix era? No idea how it's going to go. He was a little more pro-ready because of all of the games he played in Washington. But remember, he was a transfer there. He had been in other places, too. So he had a lot of college games under his belt. And, yeah, there were a lot of people who were high on him, especially out of the college football playoff and what we saw with him. He dazzled, and he really helped his draft stock because of those games in the college football playoff. Brian Daboll, coaching the New York Giants for now, and probably for next year, too. He and his Giants defense will face Michael Penix in Week 16.
Very productive player. He could throw it in all three levels. Very accurate. Obviously had a lot of good players around him, but thought he really gave those guys chances down the field, intermediate throws, kind of threw the ball effortlessly, was athletic.
So this is the Week 16 matchup that the Giants will have on the road, which means they have a better chance of winning, but they've got 9 consecutive losses. I don't know how much their fans actually want them to win, considering that they are right now still in the hunt for the number one overall draft pick. They need a quarterback. The Raiders desperately need a quarterback. So that's a conversation for another day. Those two teams are likely to draft quarterbacks at the top of the order next year. I'm assuming it's April, late April, something along those lines. So the spring NFL draft. It's in Green Bay this year, isn't it?
That sounds right, yes.
Okay, don't quote us on that. but that does sound right. Someone in Green Bay or the NFC North confirm that that's the case.
If you're going to do it in Green Bay.
Wow, what a scene.
But, you know, if you're going to do it in Green Bay, move the draft to a really cold time. I really would want to see them.
The frozen tundra NFL draft?
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
Right in February.
I would love that. So anyway, the draft, you're going to have two quarterbacks taken at the top. But there are teams out there that won't be drafting high enough. And this is not a QB-rich draft the way that it was last spring. That means there are teams that will be in the market for quarterbacks via free agency or trade. Could the Falcons trade Kirk Cousins just a year after signing him to a $180 million deal? We can talk about the deets, but how did this go horribly wrong for the Falcons and Cousins?
They won Sunday, but the offense was still abysmal. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at Kirk Cousins and what he's done the last five games, he's thrown 9 interceptions and only 1 touchdown. That's not winning football. And then when you look at the Falcons doubling down and getting a quarterback in the first round, it was for this issue right here, just in case Kirk Cousins wasn't healthy. So I was a little bit surprised that it took this long for them to make that move, because I think it was they did it this time because Raheem Morris knew the temperature of his locker room. It was maybe starting to lose guys in that locker room. You stated it yourself. They're still in the playoff hunt. I just hope it isn't too late now that they're making this substitution that it should have been done 2 weeks ago.
Lee J. Doosable, former NFL defensive lineman, excuse me, and now with CBS Sports as an analyst. The quarterback play definitely has been sorely lacking. I wonder about Kirk and his mentals. He hasn't forgotten how to throw, just not making great choices. And that's why it's so stark, is you don't generally see that from Kirk Cousins, at least not the way that it's been, where he's throwing more picks than touchdowns, as in 9 interceptions to 1 touchdown in the last 5 games, as Lee J points out. He's tops in the NFL with 16 picks. He's also tops in the NFL with fumbles. Not lost fumbles, but fumbles. This is rough. It's hard to win that way. And as I pointed out earlier, the Falcons don't have the great defense that I believe they would have had Bill Belichick taken over as the head coach. Raheem Morris still building his foundation, his culture. He's very well liked, highly respected. I think a lot of people thought maybe he could have the same impact on the Falcons that D'Amico Ryans had on the Texans when he took over a year ago. There's still a chance of that. They still could win the NFC South title and make the playoffs in their first year. But the defense has been rough. They do not have the margin of error. They don't have an offense that's giving the defense, or taking the pressure off the defense, I should say, giving the defense a little bit of room to work. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. They were heavy on the run on Monday night against the Raiders, knowing that that would be their best opportunity. They were running the ball, say, I think it was about 3-1. And Kirk only threw 17 times, 112 yards, that was it. Never threw on first down in the first half, so they didn't even ask him to throw on first down in the first half of the game against Las Vegas. And the first time he tries to throw on first down in the second half, it gets picked. To me, it seems like a loss of confidence, definitely extra pressure he's putting on himself, which a lot of times can lead to more panicky decisions as opposed to solid decisions and choices based on the defense in front of you. He's a veteran QB. He shouldn't be making these types of choices. 855-212-4227. So we'll see Michael Penix take over. What does this mean about Kirk Cousins? Well, likely means that he's done in Atlanta. Unless Penix gets hurt, which I hope is not the case. We don't want to see that. Or unless he's sorely lacking. He signed a 4-year deal. $100 million of that is guaranteed. Don't! But most of it will be paid by 2026. How about this, though? The Falcons pay Cousins $62.5 million next season. Oh, no, but that's this season. Okay, They're with the signing bonus, paying him $62.5 million this year. So there's not, it's a lot like the Russell Wilson contract. There's no possible way to get out from under all of it. But do you cut your losses? They can save money if they cut him by a certain date. That's how a lot of these contracts are structured and how the NFL league year is structured. But what if they could trade him? Now, here's the challenge. If every other team in the NFL knows that you want to trade him, they're less likely to take you up on it. Unless there's a team out there that's super desperate and thinks Kirk Cousins is the piece they're missing. Probably would have been a hotter market going back a year ago, coming off of his most recent season with the Vikings. Wouldn't say right now he's hot on the trade market, but also because the Falcons would like to unload him, that means it's a buyer's market, right? Meaning the buyers can afford to wait out the seller because they know the seller is desperate. The buyers don't have to outbid each other. The buyers don't have to drive up the price. The buyers don't have to take the bait when the Falcons dangle because they know the Falcons are desperate. In this particular case, the other teams looking to trade for a QB have the advantage because they know the Falcons want to unload him. And if the Falcons don't unload him, they're in a severe disadvantage when it comes to salary cap ramifications. But if there's one team, all it takes is one team who says, you know what? I don't want to wait till he hits the waiver wire. I don't want to wait until he becomes a free agent, till he's completely cut. We're going to go after him now because we really want to get him. So it just takes one team to jump the line, if you will. So who are the possibilities? And that's where the fun questions come in. Not Buffalo, duh. Not Miami. Not New England. So in the AFC East, could the Jets? Could the Jets be looking for a veteran QB? Well, they have one. Aaron Rodgers says he wants to return and play for the Jets in 25. They think they still have a relatively good team, but I don't know. If Aaron Rodgers can't... Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles can't spark the offense and can't do what he's done with all the pieces around him or do what he wanted to do with all the pieces around him, like Devontae Adams, who, yes, just had a huge second half. Why would you think Kirk Cousins could be the answer? So I don't know that the Jets, if they're going to keep an old dude coming off a torn Achilles, it's probably going to be Rodgers, not Kirk Cousins. In the AFC North, could the Browns be a possible destination? The shine has really gone off Deshaun Watson. Who knows when he'll be healthy? Jameis Winston, for now, is benched. We'll see if Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he's a second-year QB, can last through the rest of the year. But they've benched Winston after all of the interceptions. I don't know that it matters, but they feel like they have a better chance to win with DTR, or at least he doesn't hurt them as much as Jameis does with the whole go-for-broke approach. Otherwise, Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, they're good. So Browns may be a candidate. In the AFC South, Texans are good. Colts, I think, are good. I mean, they're working with Anthony Richardson. The Jaguars love Trevor Lawrence, and they just paid him. So they may change coach, probably not general manager, but they'll probably change Doug Peterson and the coaching staff. But I think it's pretty well accepted that they're going to have Trevor moving forward. But what about the Titans? The Titans stink, and Will Levis just got benched again, as in got benched during the game last week and is not playing in week 16. So could the Titans be looking for a veteran QB?
I actually think Titans and Jaguars are probably the best candidates with Cleveland. Because even though the Jaguars have Lawrence, I think if you're bringing in another coach, that person could want to do his own thing. And Trevor Lawrence has been talked about as a possible trade bait. If they move on from Trevor Lawrence and you need a stopgap, maybe they go get Cousins.
But why would you move from Trevor Lawrence to Kirk Cousins?
I wouldn't do it.
No, that's a step back.
But it might be a stopgap until they get to their quarterback, because they're not going to be in the top.
But why not just stay with Trevor Lawrence then? Why give up assets?
I would think so. But if you can get some picks, if you can build up some other parts of the team while you figure out what your new quarterback is, maybe they do it.
So you don't think Trevor Lawrence is the right fit for Jacksonville?
I like him. I like him. I think he needs the proper system around him. I think he might benefit from going elsewhere,
like Sam Darnold.
But if I was building a team in Jacksonville, he's not the problem.
Agreed. I agree with that. And they just paid him, so there's that too.
Right.
Similar to this whole Kirk Cousins situation, where you trade a quarterback early after you've signed him, and you pay a much different penalty when it comes to the guaranteed money and the salary cap hit. Okay, so that's inside the AFC South. Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, all good. Raiders need a quarterback, but they're drafting either one or two more than likely, which means they're going to take a quarterback. So a couple of options in the AFC. In the NFC, well, the funny part is that the Giants are actually in need of a quarterback, though, again, they may be drafting in one of those top two spots and are probably going to choose a QB. But what if they need a veteran to start? Would Tommy DeVito count as a veteran? There's no way they want to start 25 with Tommy DeVito as their QB.
He gets hurt all the time. This might be the time where they say, all right, sayonara to Tommy DeVito. It was fun, but that's it.
Okay, so Commanders, Eagles, Cowboys, I think they're set. The Cowboys just paid Dak and they love him there. So the Giants, they need a quarterback, but probably a draft. Lions, Vikings, Packers, Bears, they're all good. How about that? An entire division good on their QBs. That brings us to the South. Panthers? I know Bryce Young took a step back. We just talked about it with Chris McClain, who joined us from our Charlotte affiliate on Tuesday morning. He was great, by the way, if you missed it. So much fun. Self-deprecating. He owed us one. So the Panthers are probably set at Bryce Young now with Dave Canales. The Saints are going to need a quarterback. Could he stay inside the division? I don't think they go into 25 with... I mean, Darren Rizzi, whether or not he gets a fair shake at the job, they need to hire a coach. They need to figure out their quarterback situation. Taysom Hill, they've never wanted to use him as QB. He tore an ACL, right? So he's going to be out probably to start next season. Derek Carr has been injured most of the time he's been there. I think they're going to need a new QB, but probably not drafting high enough to get a good one.
All right, so they'd be in line for a stopgap, which would be Cousins.
Okay, so that's inside the South. And then the West, I think they like Geno Smith, but maybe they're looking for an upgrade, but I don't know about that. Rams are fine. Cardinals are fine. Niners are fine.
Yeah, Seahawks, if they wanted to move on from Geno Smith, they would keep him around and then go find the other quarterback first.
Right. But the point is you wouldn't go get Cousins to replace Geno.
No.
You would just keep Geno and Geno, find your next guy.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So who could end up trading for Kirk Cousins if the Falcons are interested in trading him, which they probably are. We're jumping the gun a little bit because the season's not over. But if they're trying to trade him, what team out there could be a good fit for Kirk Cousins? At A-Law Radio. Also, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's in our final hour of this hump show live on Twitch TV. Ugly sweaters included. Thanks so much for hanging out with us as we navigate the hump show the week before Christmas. We're all kinds of holiday cheer. Straight ahead, you'll get to hear those candidates for TD of the week and the final few minutes of voting. You better hustle up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
He's gone! They throw in the end zone! Touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Feathers helping into the end zone!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Here's the snap, chest high. Mayfield looking to his left, looking to his left, still looking to his left, directing traffic. Throws the ball downfield. Caught ball! Mike Evans down the sideline. Is he inbounds to the 10? 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
the Denver Broncos.
Quads to the right, four receivers right. This is going to be a double pass. They throw it, complete it, throw it back to Richardson. It's going to be intercepted. Intercepted, Nick Bonito. Bonito to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Lamar from the gun takes the snap. Drops the throw. Fires to the middle, and he's got Mark Andrews with a record-setting touchdown for the Ravens tight end. Mark Andrews gives the Ravens not only their first points of the game, but it is also the 48th touchdown of his career, the most in Ravens team history.
The Green Bay Packers.
Love looks over the defense, takes the snap, he's back to pass. Love has time, bouncing in the pocket, lofts it deep down the middle of the field for the end zone. It is caught! Touchdown, Green Bay! Romeo Doubs, his second of the night. Jordan Love with a moon ball down the middle, and Doubs underneath the goalpost with a sliding catch. He picked it right off the top of the turf.
Man, this is a very, very tight race for TD of the week. Week 15 in the NFL. We're wrapping up a Touchdown Tuesday, letting you hear those candidates again. From Tampa Bay, Gene Deckerhoff on Bucs Radio. Mike Evans with a fantastic performance. The Bucs go over 40 points, a 57-yarder, a connection with Baker Mayfield. And honestly, that's been the saving grace since Evans returned from his injury. Right now, that TD is neck and neck with the call. Well, it's not the call. It's the touchdown. Nick Bonito, a fumble return on what was a failed trick play by the Indianapolis Colts, stepping in front of a lateral back to the quarterback Richardson. Bonito just snags it and heads to the house. Dave Logan with the call on Broncos Radio. Right now, those two are neck and neck, separated by just over 2 percentage points. You have only a few minutes left to vote. Here I will retweet again at A-Law Radio. You can also weigh in on our Facebook page. We've also got Jerry Sandusky of Ravens Radio, Mark Andrews with a record-setting TD on Sunday, and then the one that I voted for, of course. I always vote for the one that doesn't win. But the way that Romeo Doubs snagged the moon ball from Jordan Love off the turf, like inches before it hits the ground in the end zone. Welcome back, Romeo Doubs, the call with Ryan Radke on Westwood One. So again, it's retweeted, also pinned to the top of our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Coming up just over 2 hours from now, Ask Amy Anything live on Twitch TV, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. Retweet the link for those of you who want to try it. We'll also put it up on the Facebook page because I know it's something new, and so we're not maybe used to it. I'll be honest, this is only the second time in my life I've ever been on Twitch TV, so it's not something that I'm used to, but it's definitely worth it. It's kind of fun, not to mention we're wearing Christmas sweaters as you see me gesturing and talking with my hands like a good Italian girl. It's our last Ask Amy Anything of the 2024 year. A lot of you asking questions that are, I would say, curiosities, right? About the neighbor's light, about the foster dog, and definitely holiday traditions, my favorite Christmas song, anniversary stuff. Maybe we won't make you wait for all of the answers to those questions, especially about the dog, because I know a lot of you want to know what happened with the foster dog. So we'll navigate our way through, but in 2 hours, live on Twitch TV, /InfinitySportsNet. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Where would Kirk Cousins be a good fit? Any takers? Any at all? There are definitely places where they are in desperate need of quarterbacks. Any quarterback, just some veteran quarterback will do. A warm body would be nice. No, there are certainly places in the NFL where he'd be an upgrade. The issue is, of course, the contract is massive. And so the Falcons are going to have to agree to pay part of the contract. That's another way that this might be attractive. Similar to what the Broncos did with the Steelers when they traded Russell Wilson. They just wanted to get out from underneath that contract, or really the tenure with Russ, as quickly as possible. They were willing to cut bait, eat their losses, whatever you want to say. And so they're paying a good portion of Russ's salary this year. and he's thriving for the Steelers in many ways. That could be a possibility. There could be a trade partner as opposed to them cutting him and getting nothing in return if they agree to pay part of his salary and pick up a lot of that money, because it's an unattractive contract to another team. No team out there now, knowing what they see of Kirk Cousins now coming off the Achilles, would have paid him that kind of money. So the Falcons were desperate. They wanted him. They felt like they were a QB away. But right now, after the last five games, he's not worth that to any franchise out there. And so for the Falcons to find a trade partner, they're going to have to agree to absorb some of that money.
Right, especially when Team A or Team B can go into free agency and go get a quarterback that's $4 million, $5 million that can do the same things that Kirk Cousins is doing right now.
Jameis Winston might be available.
Right.
Derek Carr might be available.
Right. If you're going to do that, you might as well just go spend less money. You can go get the quarterback in free agency. So it's going to be really difficult. They're going to have to really sweeten the pot if they want to move on from him. Or he's going to get cut and he's going to get picked up.
I am intrigued by the idea of the Browns QB situation and what they might do. It's gone so horribly wrong. It's gone so off the rails with Deshaun Watson. He's not been healthy even one year that he's been with them, plus the suspension the first season when they signed him. That $230 million contract, kind of comparatively now, I know it's fully guaranteed, so some team's got to pay it. But I don't know. I'm not sure that they might not be willing to walk away from it completely. But the issue is the same, actually probably even more so with Deshaun. No one is going to pick up that contract. So if there was even any potential trade partner out there, which probably not, the Browns would have to pay a good portion of the salary. I just don't know how they ever put him back out there on the field again. How do you? Yeah, there's some really tough quarterback conundrums, if you will.
The Browns love to get in conundrums.
Oh, they do.
So this would make sense for them.
That's what happens when you make a decision that 99% of the NFL thinks is not a good idea. Did you hear one person out there? Do you remember when they signed him, the huge contract? Do you remember even one analyst, one general manager, one anyone who was willing to comment who thought, yes, great idea, stamp of approval? I don't remember even one, outside of Cleveland, of course.
Well, no, I don't. No, I think it was, you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that thought it was a great idea. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible contract.
I wonder how many people around the NFL are thinking, I told you so. Actually, it's probably old news by now. The I told you so may have come last year when he got injured again. Oh. It's a sad state of affairs for the Browns, because they really were headed in the right direction until that contract.
It came when the Texans were rolling with D'Amico Ryans. That's when it came. It started to come when they were reaping the benefits of not having him there.
And now you've got a Baker Mayfield who is chucking and ducking. And I know he's still at times a gunslinger, and so he also makes poor choices. But he's better than what they've got, better than anything that they've gotten from Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm. Well,
man,
I didn't think it would. The thing I didn't think would be the case is how much he hasn't played. That I thought he'd play and he'd be bad, but how much he hasn't played is the thing that gets me a little bit. This contract.
Oh yeah. And they're paying him anyway, right? Because injuries are considered workman's comp, so he's still getting paid. At Amy After Hours, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also, just a couple minutes left to vote for TD of the Week. I'm telling you, it is tight. Separated the top two contenders, not even 2 percentage points. So we will reveal your choice for TD of the Week. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Coming up, we keep getting a lot of the same questions. So rather than do them via Ask Amy Anything, I think I'll probably go ahead and answer them straight ahead. Also, did you hear this moment from college football over the weekend? My husband actually got it on his news feed on one of his news sites where he goes, and he played it for me, and I was so struck by it that I had our production department go and find it so I could play it for you. I've never heard anything like this before. It was awesome. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pat Boyle.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. It doesn't taste nearly as sweet as the big one in June, but Giannis and the Bucks raised the cup.
Fans on their feet celebrating this one. The Bucks have announced themselves. Yes, the Bucks are back. 97-81, they clobber the Thunder. They are the Emirates NBA Cup champions.
Bucks radio the final call. It was a one-point game at half before Milwaukee dominated the Thunder in the second half to win by 16. Giannis, monster performance in the win, a triple-double. 26 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists. Damian Lillard added 23 as well. It caps off what has been a red-hot stretch for the Bucks. They started the season 2-8. And had gone 12-3 since entering the cup title game. In the loss for OKC, SGA struggled mightily. 21 points, but shot just 8 of 24 from the field. Jalen Williams scored 18, while Isaiah Hartenstein added a double-double. After another erratic performance on Monday Night Football, the Falcons are benching QB Kirk Cousins and turning to rookie Michael Penix Jr. the rest of the way. Head coach Raheem Morris spoke to the media on Tuesday before he officially made the decision, but was asked about what the potential downside was in turning to Penix.
You could never say there's a downfall to turning it over to somebody that you put a lot of investment into, somebody that you brought in here, somebody that you've done some things with, somebody that's done nothing but the right things since they've been here. So I never want to pit this thing versus Penix and why you don't want to do something like that, Zach. Just being, you know, really smart and cautious in how we go about our business.
Cousins' contract now will loom large in the offseason. He signed with Atlanta for 4 years, $180 million back in March with $100 million guaranteed. Falcons can try and trade him in the offseason or cut him as a post-June 1st designation and take on $65 million in dead cap over the next 2 years. Falcons are 7-7, only a game back of the Bucks in the NFC South. Baseball, Yankees acquired former NL MVP Cody Bellinger from the Cubs in exchange for pitcher Cody Petit. And college football, number 25 Memphis beats West Virginia 42-37 in the Frisco Bowl. Michael Vick is reportedly going to be the next head coach at Norfolk State. I'm Pat Boyle.
I'd like to salute our military veterans. Personal foul. Unnecessary roughness. Return team, number 11. The 15-yard penalty will be enforced from the spot of the foul. First down.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What a moment to remember from the college football weekend. This is the Cricket Celebration Bowl. And if you never heard of it, it's okay. I hadn't either. It's played at Mercedes-Benz, though, the home of the Falcons in Atlanta. So big-time stage. And the referee, Rory Bernard, was about to call a penalty, an unnecessary roughness flag. But before he announces the penalty, he takes that opportunity to salute military veterans. And I do mean salute. He actually saluted after he told the crowd what he was going to do. This is incredible. Listen to it again.
I'd like to salute our military veterans. Personal foul. Unnecessary roughness. Return team, number 11. The 15-yard penalty will be enforced from the spot of the foul. First down.
I was kind of surprised, actually, that there were a few fans who booed it. But I think they were booing the unnecessary roughness, not necessarily the military tribute. And this was actually right before Army-Navy. So the timing is that the whole country's buzzing about Army-Navy, the annual game, the longstanding tradition and the rivalry. And here is Bernard in a different game, in a different bowl between Jackson State and South Carolina State. And he actually takes that pause. That pause that you hear is him standing at attention and saluting our military veterans, which I thought was awesome. If you've not seen it, maybe producer Pete, you can retweet it from our show account at Amy After Hours. How terrific is that? It was a big surprise. I hope he did not get reprimanded by the head of officials. I hope that the head of officials didn't try to turn this into something other than a really special tribute, a memorable tribute, because I've never heard anything like that before. Online at Amy After Hours on our Facebook page. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We're getting a lot of common questions, ones that we don't necessarily need to say for Ask Amy Anything. We try to do more unique and holiday questions this time of the year. So I'm going to get to some of those and answer some of those before we ever get to Ask Amy Anything, because I'm hearing more and more questions about the light and about the dog. And that's understandable. I appreciate so much that you all care about my personal life, too. Thank you. First, let's talk to Mitchell in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Amy, I'm the guy that I only called you a while back with my daughters. I let my daughters listen to you sing that throat. Man, they still talk about it to this day. They really talk. So one of my daughters like, have you talked to that lady, Amy, lately? So I decided to call you. But real quick with the Browns, that Deshaun Watson contract, it sucks. And then I want to know, do you think this is it for Nick Chubb, because he broke his foot this past weekend? Do you feel that that's the end of him?
Well, I hope not, because he's been one of the bright lights for Cleveland since he signed there. And obviously what he's done as a running back has been incredible. Spearheaded them getting to the playoffs. Really spearheading their offense. Forget even playoffs, anything like that. He's been the focal point of this offense now as long as he's been in a Browns uniform. And I would hate it if he wasn't a Brown anymore, mostly because of what he's meant there. But I also think, hey, if you're Nick Chubb and you're coming off an injury and they cut you or you are waived, then you have a chance to pick your own team. How cool would that be as well for Nick? Because there are teams that would, say, take a flyer on him, using my air quotations, but there are teams out there that would be interested just to see how he does coming off this broken foot, a freak injury, and maybe he gets a chance to participate in a playoff run or even get to the postseason again with a team that has higher hopes.
Yeah, because did you see this weekend? Kareem Hunt kind of ran us over. He really did. He kind of ran the Browns over, so I was happy for Kareem Hunt. And then one more thing. I'm going to tell you one thing I dislike about your show. I dislike those callers that call and they try to dominate the conversation when you're trying to. I can't stand it. I'd be like, why she won't hang up on them?
Yeah, I'm nicer than most of my male counterparts. Scott Farrell, who used to be on this network for years and is now on Sports Grid, he would cut people off after 20 seconds. And if you thought they were idiots, he would call them that. I don't have the heart for that.
Well, you do a great, you have a great show, and I really appreciate you. And my daughters, every now and then, they ask about the lady that sings, let me clear my throat.
Oh. So. I hope that's not the only reason they remember me, but thank you, Mitchell. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Merry Christmas to you and your daughters. All right. So you strive to be a role model, set a good example for young women, and what they remember me for is let me clear my throat. Terrific. That's all right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio is where you can find me. A couple of new photos up from the weekend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your kind anniversary wishes. They were very sweet. Overwhelming how much you all care about me as a human being, me as now a wife, as opposed to just me as a radio host. A few of you have asked me, what did we do over the weekend as part of our anniversary celebration? These were surprises that my husband set up. So on Friday evening, we went to dinner, one of my favorite restaurants and one that we had gone to with his son and daughter-in-law, future daughter-in-law, but now they're married. So we really enjoyed taking them there over Father's Day weekend. And so that was the restaurant he picked, a great Italian restaurant. We had fun. We dressed up and enjoyed couple of appetizers, and they also gave us a mug of gelato with a candle. So this was a surprise. Also really cool, Pete, I don't think he did it because he expected anything in return, but when he booked the reservation online, they always put a line in there, is it for a special occasion? So he writes in anniversary. And the menu, we opened up the menu and printed at the top of the page in really sweet cursive writing, happy anniversary. It was neat. So we got our own personalized, well, maybe they weren't for us. They probably used them for a lot of anniversaries, but we did get happy anniversary in our menu. And then they brought us a mug of super creamy gelato with a candle in it to say happy anniversary. So that was awesome. On Saturday morning, temperatures were in the mid-20s. That's without the wind chill. We bundled up and went horseback riding. We did a trail ride in western New Jersey. This was also a surprise because my husband knows how much I love horses, and he's also a big fan of horses. We went on a trail ride, just the two of us with a guide, kind of up and down this hilly stretch with ravines, and the horses had to be careful about picking their footing. We were able to feed them apples after the fact, which was a lot of fun. And then on Saturday night, dressed up again, we were on the go a lot, and went to see the Nutcracker performed by the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra and the ballet. So it was an awesome weekend. He did a great job. He's awesome and the best. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.